Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you on this Sunday, the 16th of June, 2024. My name is Nigel Parker, and I am the minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. We and our supporters are pleased to bring you this Word of Grace broadcast on CJMQ. Today is Father's Day. Like Mother's Day, it can be a very difficult day to speak about family and church and relationships. How do you speak about something that should be good and which for many people is good, while for others is a source of enormous pain and hurt and betrayal? We are looking at the book of Ruth in the Bible in these days, and as we shall see, hers was a family in which Father's Day should have been cancelled. But first though, here are words from Psalm 68. Sing to God. Sing in praise of his name, extol him who rides on the clouds, rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, he would have told me so. He has gone away to live in that bright city. He's preparing me a mansion that I know. Jesus died upon the cross to bear my sorrow. Freely died that souls like you might have new life. But I know that soon there'll come a bright tomorrow, when the world will all be free from sin and strife.
Do not shun the Savior's love from up in glory, or you won't be there to sing the gospel story.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If you're true, then to this land you'll surely go.
Let us pray. Our loving God, you are the first of all firsts. You are the legend that built the universe without anybody's help. You are our hero who rescues us from eternal death, and you give us peace. You are greater than the greatest, greater than our father Abraham, the father of our faith. You are higher than the highest, and all fathers get their best ideas from you. Your love for us is deeper than we can ever imagine. Your love for us never dwindles, it never diminishes, it never changes. Your love for us is unquenchable. Your love for us is unconditional, immeasurable, and pleasurable. Your deep compassion for us is deeper than the earth. You never reject in spite of our failures. You never withdraw from us in spite of our errors and mistakes. You never scold us beyond what we can handle. You always correct us in love, and you bring us back to your loving arms. O God, Father that you are, you know what is right for us. But too often we only want our own way or no way instead of your way. Have mercy upon us when we turn from you. Forgive us when we do not realize your fatherly love and direction for us. Have mercy upon us indeed, and teach us anew how to follow you, Father that you are. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I've said, we're reading in the book of Ruth at the moment. It's a book in which three women suffer the loss of their menfolk. Naomi loses her husband and two sons, and her sons' wives, Ruth and Orpah, are left childless and as widows. Everything that spoke of masculine love in their lives was taken from them. Naomi heard that there was food back in Bethlehem, where they had originally come from, and they set off back home. Orpah decided to stay in Moab, but Ruth chooses to go with Naomi. And in Ruth chapter 2 we read, "Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour.' Naomi said to her, 'Go ahead, my daughter.' And so she went out, entered a field and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. 'The Lord be with you!' 'The Lord bless you,' they answered. And Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, who does that young woman belong to?" And the overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I've told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground, and she asked him, "Why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Amen." So Naomi and Ruth have lost their menfolk. Life was hard for them, and maybe some of you know that. Perhaps you were raised in a single-parent household. Perhaps it was your mother who was left a widow and you left without a father. I don't know. I'd like to think that whatever the shape of your family life, you were rich in love, even if it was not a lot else. But then there are fathers in our times who may be absent for good reasons, doing double time to provide for their families, working long hours away from home, doing a worthwhile job that can command the respect of their children. Being a father leaves you with a perpetual sense of feeling that you should do more. Sometimes children and dads live in different worlds and speak differing languages, and it's hard being a dad. Here's a real-world story about dads and fathering from a writer called Irma Bombeck. She writes, "When my dad died in my 9th year, I was raised by my mother, giving rise to the question, what do fathers do? As far as I could observe, they brought the car around when it rained so everyone else could stay dry. They always took the family pictures, which is why they were never in them. They carved turkeys on Thanksgiving, kept the car gassed up, weren't afraid to go into the basement, mowed the lawn and tightened the clothesline to keep it from sagging. It wasn't until my husband and I had children that I was able to observe firsthand what a father contributed to a child's life. What did he do to deserve his children's respect? He rarely fed them, did anything about their sagging diapers, wiped their noses, played ball, or bonded with them under the hoods of their cars. What did he do? He threw them higher than his head until they were weak from laughter. He cast the deciding vote on the puppy debate. He listened more than he talked. He let them make mistakes. He allowed them to fall from their first two-wheeler without having a heart attack. He read a newspaper while they were trying to parallel park a car for the first time in preparation for their driving test." Irma continues, "If I had to tell someone's son what a father really does that is important, it would be that he shows up for the job in good times and bad times. He's a man who is constantly being observed by his children. They learn from him how to handle adversity, anger, disappointment and success. He won't laugh at their dreams, no matter how impossible they might seem. He will dig out at 1 a.m. when one of his children runs out of gas. He will make unpopular decisions and stand by them. When he is wrong and makes a mistake, he will admit it. He sets the tone for how family members treat one another, members of the opposite sex and people who are different than they are. By example, he can instill a desire to give something back to the community when its needs are greater than theirs. But mostly, a good father involves himself in his kids' lives. The more responsibility he has for a child, the harder it is to walk out of their life. A father has the potential to be a powerful force in the life of a child. Grab it. Maybe you'll get a greeting card for your efforts. Maybe not. But it's steady work." Here in Ruth chapter 2, we encounter a man called Boaz. And we'll look at Boaz again next week, but let me for today say that Boaz points us to God as the loving Heavenly Father. Boaz helps Ruth understand that orphaned of a human father figure she may be, yet she is under God's loving protection. Boaz says to Ruth, who is better than 7 sons to her mother-in-law, "May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Boaz points Ruth in her loss and pain to the Father heart of God. The Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. That opening psalm I read speaks of God as a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. God himself gives himself to be the provider and defender of family. God himself, in ways that might be unseen or hidden, undertakes to be a father for the fatherless. And in all the stories that Jesus told about fathers, he used pictures and images of good, generous, extravagant fathers to describe the love of God. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" God sends Jesus to be our Saviour, who taught us to pray, "Our Father," and he sent the Spirit into our hearts by which we cry out, "Abba, Father," our darling Father. God himself involves himself in his creation's lives. This is the Father heart of the God that we know in Jesus. Amen. Father in heaven, on this day when fathers are being remembered and honoured throughout the world, we honour you, the Father from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. The word says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God." And so we are. How amazing! And we acknowledge that apart from Jesus Christ, we could only fall back in fear at the thought of approaching a God so holy, righteous, and just. But your word tells us that we did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption as children, by whom we cry, "Abba, Father," our darling Father. Father, we thank you for the fathers among us, soon-to-be fathers, young fathers, middle-aged fathers, old fathers, grandfathers. Thank you for their sacrifices and their desire to reflect your heart to their children. Make them aware of the privilege, gift, and responsibility of fatherhood. Cause them not to provoke their children to anger, but to lead them in your gracious discipline and instruction. Fill those who are weary with fresh strength for the task, and may they know your Spirit's power in their weakness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our fathers, whether by natural birth or by adoption. For those who had good fathers, we thank you for their example, their care, their counsel, and their presence in our lives. May we honour them appropriately through our words and deeds. And for those who don't have good memories of their human fathers, we pray that they would be strengthened with power through your Spirit in their inner being, so that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith, that they would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that they may find in you the Father heart of love they yearn for. We pray for patience to understand, mercy to forgive, and courage to stand fast. And for those fathers who are estranged from a child or children, or anyone who's unreconciled with their own human father, would you bring to pass this promise in Malachi? He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. Jesus, thank you that you assured us of our Heavenly Father's care when you said, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" And hear us now as further we pray in the words Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.